Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell.
Today's episode is really messed up. Like, it made my head spin.
Oh.
And unfortunately, it is about a child victim.
Oh, gosh.
But I've never heard of her until very recently. And in my opinion, this is like crazy. Like, I would think the internet sleuths would be all over this.
Really?
So this case occurred in March of 2010.
Wow, that was a bit ago.
Yeah, it's been 14 years. And I had listened to a podcast on this, and I almost didn't listen to it because I'm a kid and I don't like the ones on kids. But after I listened to it, I was just like, wait. Mm. And like, I literally sat there and I was like, I didn't hear something. So I started reading up on it and I'm like, no, I heard everything.
Oh,
it just doesn't make any sense.
Crap.
So I'm not going to be able to give you any answers of how or why the little girl died, or at least not
appease your mind
or like close, make it like nice closed case.
So is it still like unsolved?
It's considered closed.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. So this case or this episode is going to cover the mysterious case of Paulette Gabera Ferreira. And Paulette was born on July 20th, 2005 to her parents Mauricio and Lizette in Mexico.
Okay.
Paulette was adorable. You could see from the picture.
She was a baby doll.
She had brown curly hair and big brown eyes, and she was the baby of the family. She had an older sister, and she was just a few years older, so, you know, her parents were kind of hoping baby number two, they would be close, and that would make their family complete.
Right.
Paulette's parents, Mauricio and Lizette, were married in 2001, and they appeared to have it all. They seemed to have a great relationship, and anyone outside the family looking in would never think they fought a day in their lives. And both parents were very successful and made a good living.
Really? Okay.
Lizette's father was a Lebanese immigrant that moved to Mexico when he was younger. When he arrived in Mexico, he became extremely successful and wealthy.
Dang.
He was considered by all to be a successful businessman. Since Lizette grew up in a wealthy family, she experienced all the perks of not having to worry about budgeting and spending.
Okay.
Lizette's parents spared no expense when looking for a school for her to attend. They wanted to make sure that their daughter had every opportunity to succeed in life. This included the best education.
That was nice for her.
Yeah. Lizette's parents searched all over Mexico for the best school to ensure their daughter had a top-tier education. The extra expense spent on Lizette's education turned out to be worth the cost because when she began her career as an attorney, she was extremely successful and well-known.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
Go ahead with your bad self.
Get it, girl. Paulette's father, Mauricio, and his brothers had experimented in real estate. And by the time Mauricio met Lizette, he had become a very successful real estate guy. Mauricio and Lizette were considered a power couple because they were both so successful in their careers. After a few years of marriage, Lizette found out she was pregnant for little Lizette.
Oh.
Their firstborn daughter and the mother have the same name, so I'll refer to mom as Lizette and the daughter as little Lizette.
Paquito Lizette.
Taquito Lizette.
Paquito.
Paquito?
That means tiny.
Oh, I can say T Lizette.
Taquito, I think, is something you eat.
Oh.
Yeah. Taquito, taquito, potato, patata, tomato, tomato, paquito, taquito.
I think taquito's in the frozen food section.
<They are. laughs> Oven on 400.
Yeah, 20 to 25 minutes cooked.
Taquitos and taquitos salsa. And salsa.
That sounds okay, good. Let's go. Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
I'm going to call them Lizette and Little Lizette to try to make it easier to differentiate between the two. But
okay.
The majority of the people I'm going to talk about is the mom. The daughter doesn't play a big role in this.
Okay.
A few years after little Lizette was born, Mauricio and Lizette discovered they were pregnant again, and they were very excited about their growing family.
Oh.
Their second baby was also a girl, and they named her Paulette.
Okay.
Since little Lizette and Paulette were only a few years apart, their parents had hopes that they would get along well together and become best friends.
Mm-hmm.
They could just picture their daughter's laughter filling their house. Even though Mauricio and Lizette appeared to have it all, Paulette's life was not easy, but she was a fighter. Due to complications while Lizette was pregnant, Paulette was born at only 25 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Scary.
Even with all the medical breakthroughs there have been, and with the best doctors available, being mm-hmm. born at 25 weeks is very scary and comes with all sorts of complications.
Mm-hmm.
There is no guarantee that a baby will survive when it's born so early.
Oh.
When Paulette was born, she weighed 1 pound, 7 ounces.
Oh, that's so tiny.
I know. It's like the palm of your hand. Like, it's tiny.
Gosh, that would be terrifying.
After she was born, the doctors approached Lizette and Mauricio and told them not to get their hopes up because there was the possibility that Paulette would not survive.
Can you imagine a doctor coming up and telling you that?
That is not what
Don't
you want
to hear.
Don't get
your hopes up.
Yeah. Like, no, that's my baby. You do whatever you can. Yes. She's going to survive.
Have hope till I don't.
Yes.
Mm.
Thankfully, there were great doctors around that helped Paulette survive and thrive. And Paulette Good. Was a fighter. Her little body didn't give up, and she gradually began to get stronger.
Sweet baby.
After a few weeks, the doctors started to have hope that maybe she was going to survive. Hmm. Unfortunately, the doctors did still have to warn the parents that because she was born so prematurely, there was a high possibility she would have disabilities and may not be able to live a normal childhood.
Mm.
They warned that Paulette would probably have impaired and delayed motor skills and language deficiencies.
Oh, gosh.
The doctors even told her parents that the likelihood of her ever walking on her own was pretty much slim to none. Mauricio and Lizette wanted their daughter to have the best life growing up and all the assistance and support she would need to thrive in her life. She was able to get the best physical therapy available, as well as the best medical care that her parents could afford. Her parents wanted to do everything they could to give Paulette as normal a life as possible. With all of the medical care and physical therapy, Paulette began to thrive more than her doctors had ever expected.
Wow.
Yeah, so
she was a little scrapper.
Yeah, she was kicking butt.
Go, Paulette.
One of these new treatments was called horse therapy.
Horse therapy?
Yeah, Lauren at work would love this.
Okay.
So horse therapy was used to help teach her how to walk. She couldn't get around completely on her own, but she also wasn't stuck in a wheelchair, unable to walk and run. Basically, she would pet the horse and walk with the horse, and it would help her, I guess, like, develop and learn to walk on her own.
Okay.
The doctors predicted correctly that Paulette would struggle to master speaking. She had a very hard time learning how to speak, so much so that when she was almost 4 years old, she still couldn't form complete sentences.
Aw.
Because of this, Paulette began extensive therapies, and eventually she was able to communicate her needs and wants through single words such as food, drink, mom, and dad.
Aww.
Even though she was unable to speak in complete sentences, she was learning to communicate in her own way and was getting pretty good at it.
Go ahead. She found a workaround.
She did. When she was able to begin preschool, she was able to attend school with all of the other children who were her own age.
Wow.
She did still need additional help as she wasn't able to walk on her own or form complete sentences, and she needed additional help with schoolwork.
Mm-hmm.
Paulette also needed help at home.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So both of her parents were busy working professionals.
Working, yeah.
They had full-time jobs, so they decided to hire 2 nannies to make sure that little Lizette and Paulette were both adequately cared for and all of their needs were met.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 nannies that were hired were Erica and Martha, and they were sisters, so they worked well together.
Mm-hmm.
The nannies were not suffering in this job. They were given a luxury high-rise apartment to live in.
Wow.
And the apartment was real snazzy.
I bet.
It was large, and it had all the amenities, and they were earning a great salary. Even though the family had 2 nannies, that was not all the help they had around their home. They also hired personnel to assist with the upkeep of their home.
Mm-hmm.
I also have personnel to assist with the upkeep of my home.
Uh-huh.
I call him Oscar the Shark, and it's a shark robot vacuum.
I have one as well. It doesn't have a name.
I even tell it thank you when it finishes.
Do you really?
I do.
Please and thank you.
Please, Oscar, go vacuum for me.
You just got a raise. You got a bump up in voltage.
You got that, babe. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
It sounds like this family had a perfect life, but things aren't always as they seem.
Ooh.
When major things happen involving a family that appears perfect from the outside, secrets don't stay secret for long.
Damn it, I knew it.
Yeah, none of my shit ever has a happy ending. I'm sorry.
No, but there is it's always like the picture perfect family. Yeah,
the ones you don't ever expect.
Yeah.
So we're going to go back to 2010. Paulette was 4 years old and her older sister, little Lizette, was 7 years old.
Okay.
Mauricio had planned a small getaway for himself and his daughters. He wanted to spend quality time with them and take a break from all the usual work and life chaos.
Great.
Lizette was busy the weekend. Mauricio decided to take the girls on the getaway so she would not be able to go with them.
Rats.
She had already made plans to go out of town to visit a friend. So it was just Mauricio, little Lizette, and Paulette going on the trip together. Yeah.
That's kind of strange.
I thought so too, especially at 4 and 7. Like,
if you have a work thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if your husband's going to take your two girls, well, I don't know. It could be daddy-daughter bonding time. Who knows?
Yeah, well, maybe so. I don't know. I would just, at 4 and 7, I would rather be
with them.
With my kids.
Yeah.
Even now at 12 and 10, whether they like it or not, I'd rather hang out.
Mommy's there.
Mommy's here.
Right behind you.
I see you. They were traveling to V de Bravo, which is a town west of Mexico City that is right on a lake.
Nice.
It's a popular tourist destination and a great getaway for people who are looking for a beach but don't want to travel too far.
Mm-hmm.
By all accounts, the three had a great weekend together, having fun and relaxing on the beach by the lake.
Cool.
Mauricio and the girls came home from their trip on March 21st, 2010. By the time the three arrived, Lizette had already arrived from her weekend trip. That night, Lizette offered to get the girls ready for bed. She bathed both and tucked them into bed. I'm sure she missed them since they were apart for the weekend and wanted to spend some quality time catching up with them.
Sure.
Once Lizette had finished getting the girls into bed, she went to her room and everyone went to sleep for the night. Nothing unusual or weird happened that night. It seemed just like a normal night.
Okay.
The following morning, Lizette and Mauricio woke up and started on their usual Monday morning routines.
Mm-hmm.
We all know there's certain things that you do in a certain order every morning while you're getting ready for work or school.
Absolutely.
You wake up, you put your contacts in, brush your teeth, wash your face, etc.
Yes.
Paulette's family was no different. They had a set of things that they normally did every day, and that's what was happening the morning of March 22nd.
I would imagine. Especially with a handicapped child.
Yeah.
You have to have
some type of routine to get through everything.
Mm-hmm.
The usual routine for the girls was that one of their nannies would wake them up and get them ready. On the morning of the 22nd, it was Erica's turn to handle the girls' morning routine.
Okay.
However, this morning did not go as expected. Erica went into Paulette's room at approximately 8 a.m. She turned on the lights and Paulette was not there.
What?
Erica was met with a sight that stopped her in her tracks.
Oh, no.
She realized that Paulette was not in her bed, and she wasn't just not in bed. She wasn't in her room at all.
Oh, no.
This seriously confused Erica, who went to her sister Martha to ask if she had seen Paulette. Now, remember, Paulette can't walk on her own, so she's not in her bed, and she's not in her room.
Mm-hmm.
Martha had not seen Paulette either, so they began to search every inch of her bedroom for her, but they didn't find her.
Hmm.
It's not strange for a 4-year-old to get out of bed in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, get in bed with mom and dad, or go get something to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids even like to hide from their parents or babysitters occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes young kids get a kick out of hiding and trying to surprise the person they're hiding from by jumping out and scaring them. Or they like to see how long it will take an adult to find them.
You're right.
Yeah. I had a friend when I was younger. We were probably like 12 and 13. And she had a little sister that was 2 or 3. And this kid was like a master at hiding.
Oh.
She hid so well. One day her mom almost called the cops in a panic because we had looked everywhere and she wasn't there.
Oh, gosh.
However, right before calling the cops, she found her daughter asleep in a closet
under blankets.
Yes.
Yeah, Brennan's done that a couple of times as a toddler, I think.
At the time, I thought it was hilarious because she would find the craziest places to hide. But now, as a parent, that would scare the hell out of me. I can see why her mom did not think it was funny. Like, yes. Yeah, that would scare me. So
terrifying.
Not seeing your child when you wake them up in the morning isn't a huge red flag. Maybe they're in the living room watching cartoons or in the kitchen getting water. But Paulette not being in bed was a big issue since she couldn't walk without assistance.
Yeah.
Because of her disability she had from being born so prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
With this knowledge, the nannies were extremely worried because neither of them had helped Paulette from her room.
Mm-hmm.
Erica and Martha went to Lizette and Mauricio's room hoping that maybe Paulette was in their room.
Mm-hmm.
According to the nannies, this would have been a break from the family's normal morning routine.
Right.
After the nannies explained to Lizette and Mauricio that Paulette was not in her room and they couldn't find her, Lizette and Mauricio went into Paulette's room to see for themselves that Paulette was not in her room. After searching the room, they determined that the nannies had good reason to be concerned. The nannies, on the other hand, told officials later that, in their opinion, Lizette and Mauricio acted odd that morning. They didn't seem to be concerned that Paulette was missing. They all knew that there was no way Paulette could get out of bed without someone's assistance, and the four grown-ups that normally get the kids ready in the morning all stated that they didn't remove her from bed, so where was she?
Was her wheelchair in the room?
I don't know.
Okay.
And you would think, as a parent, you'd be freaking out at this point, but that was not the case with her parents.
Okay. First time it ever happened.
Yeah. I guess you're kind of in shock because, like, the only people in the house that could help her get around are saying that they didn't help her. It's like, is this for real?
Yeah.
By this time, the housekeepers had arrived at the home, and even they were worried about Paulette. They were looking everywhere with the two nannies. After the apartment had been thoroughly searched, they expanded the search outside of their apartment and began to search the entire apartment building.
Oh, my gosh.
But still no one found Paulette. Now, when I say they searched the entire apartment and the apartment building, I'm not referring to Paulette's parents.
No.
No. It was the housekeepers and the nannies that were looking throughout the apartment building for Paulette.
Well, that's what they were paid to do.
But her parents were not looking for her.
I know. I was sarcastic.
Oh, I was like,
yeah, I was being very sarcastic.
Yeah.
So they just sat back and did their normal brush my teeth and
I guess so.
They get on with my day.
She'll walk in any minute now.
Wow.
Yeah. And they actually, it was later said that they seemed to be the only people in the entire apartment building that were not concerned that their daughter was missing.
Well, she can't get very far.
Yeah. She's got to be somewhere, right?
Yeah.
To make the parents look even better in public opinion and law enforcement's opinion, neither of them were the one to call the police and report Paulette as missing.
Really?
Yeah. Supposedly, the police were contacted by Mauricio's sister after she spoke with him on the phone, and in passing, he mentioned that Paulette was missing.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. I woke up this morning. I got a cramp in my calf. I ate eggs. Paulette's missing. Mm-hmm. About to head out the door. Mm-hmm. Wait, what did you say?
Yeah, did you say Paulette is missing?
Your four-year-old that can't walk on her own? Yeah, I mean,
you misplaced her?
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you how I'm getting to work. Why would you ask about that? Like,
I wasn't finished with my story.
Yeah, gosh, so rude.
Wow.
Yeah. So thankfully, Mauricio's sister had enough common sense and compassion to know the police needed to be notified.
Wow.
Yeah, that just, if this isn't weird enough, it just gets weirder. It's like, what?
Okay. Well, I'm strapped in. Let's go.
All right. So the sister informed him of the situation. Mm-hmm. And while Mauricio's sister was freaking out, Mauricio and Lizette were still calm, cool, and collected.
Oh, no. That does not sound good.
No. The police arrived at the apartment shortly after they were notified about a missing four-year-old. They began to look over the apartment and speak with the parents and staff to get an idea of what was going on. While they were speaking with witnesses, several odd things began to stand out to them. The first issue the officers had was that Paulette had mobility issues and the entire apartment and apartment building had been searched and she was nowhere to be found. The police, the nannies, and the housekeepers were all searching the building for the missing four-year-old and she was literally nowhere. Mm-hmm. How is that possible? Mm-hmm. And why weren't her parents more concerned?
Mm-hmm.
Since it was determined that Paulette was not in the apartment or the apartment building, the next logical conclusion is that someone had to have taken Paulette sometime during the night. And this line of thinking had two problems, or had several problems. Mm-hmm. To begin with, Paulette's room was on the second floor of the apartment. Whoever took Paulette would have had to walk through the downstairs, up the stairs, into Paulette's room, then back out the same way. And there was also a window in Paulette's room, but it was considered very unlikely that this is how the person got in or out.
Okay.
There were also no signs of forced entry into the apartment via the window or any exterior doors. Hmm. From the police's viewpoint, it was unlikely that someone from outside the apartment came in and took Paulette. Hmm. Another issue with the idea of someone coming in from outside the apartment is that Paulette's parents' room was right next to her room. Mm-hmm. Her parents told investigators that her room appeared to be untouched and there were no signs of struggle. You would think that if someone broke into the house and took Paulette, the parents would have heard something, or there would have been some sign of a struggle. Mm-hmm. Even with her limited mobility, I think as a child, seeing some random person trying to take you in the middle of the night would cause you to do something. Yeah. Mm. The family also had two dogs inside of their apartment. These dogs were like most dogs, and when someone they didn't know or that they recognized shouldn't be there, the dogs would begin to bark.
Like mine.
Just like yours. They were trying to show everybody.
Except for they bark at everybody and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to Paulette's parents, the dogs never barked the night Paulette went missing. And I have a few dogs, and even when I walk in the house, mm-hmm. they let out barks.
Yeah.
I think that most dogs respond that way, and if it would have been someone they didn't recognize in the apartment, they would have really gone nuts and woke up the entire apartment.
Exactly.
That's.
But I wonder why they, I mean, it would help them out if they would have said, oh yeah, the dogs went crazy.
Yeah.
Like
they never,
why would you,
they never say anything to not incriminate themselves, but they never say anything to incriminate themselves either.
Okay. And maybe they didn't do anything.
Yeah. Some people don't have a lot of emotion. They're just blah. Maybe that's what they are. They're just blah. So the apartment building they lived in had a very good security system, which included cameras all over the building, both inside and outside.
Okay.
And they had video feed of pretty much any area of the building that the police wanted to see.
Don't tell me except.
You're not going to believe this shit.
I will.
Every single video camera was working. There was no broken cameras that would allow a person to kidnap and carry a child out of the building without being caught on camera.
Okay.
There was nothing on the video surveillance of anyone entering or leaving Paulette's apartment with or without her.
No way.
No way. Nothing.
No way.
Yep. So.
And the recorders were not messed with or.
They weren't tampered with. There was no missing time. There was no cameras that went down or were down at the time.
There was a camera in her room?
There wasn't one in her room, but there was one in the hallway that pointed at their door, and like I think every exterior door there was cameras like on the inside going out and on the outside coming in, and there was nothing suspicious.
They went through the window.
Maybe so. But it would be hard to get her back out the window. You'd have to like strap her to you. Mm. Or maybe you can drop her to a partner.
Probably more than one person.
Yeah, it would definitely have to be more than one person. Mm. The police began watching from the point that Mauricio and the girls returned from their trip. They reviewed the footage up to the present time that they were watching the videos. There was no evidence that Paulette ever left her apartment.
Damn.
They were able to confirm that Paulette returned from the trip with her father and entered the family's apartment. But after that point, she is not seen again.
Damn.
Yeah, this is a really weird story.
It is weird.
Basically, from the time that Paulette was reported as missing, her story and face were everywhere. Mm-hmm. Multiple news agencies ran information about the missing girl, and flyers were handed out and hung up all over the city. Mm. Her face and information were everywhere. There were billboards showing her picture and information, mm-hmm. as well as public TV notifications. Mm. Even the Attorney General of Mexico became involved with the case. Paulette's story wasn't just a local news story. The world was watching and praying for this little girl and her safe return to her family.
Golly.
Paulette and her disappearance were a hot topic for everybody by this time. But the more talk and information that was released, the more things started to get suspicious and did not make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense already.
Yeah. It gets worse.
Oh, no.
Detectives searched Paulette's family's apartment five separate times during the first day of the investigation.
Dang.
The police also searched other days, but a lot of articles point out that from day one, the apartment was searched and researched and nothing was ever found. Cadaver dogs were brought into the apartment to see if they could detect anything, but nothing was found. Mm. According to some news articles, it is stated that there were at least 100 different people coming in and out of the apartment from the beginning of the investigation. No stone was left unturned in the search for Paulette. The detectives pulled out all the stops, including holding press conferences, police interviews, forensic interviews, cadaver dog searches.
Damn.
Everything that could be done to find the missing girl was done, but she was not found. Mm. Now, I'm all for interviews and getting the information about a crime or a missing person out there mm-hmm. and at the front of people's minds. But one interview in particular in this case really pissed me off.
Who did it?
Yeah. So Lizette sat down with a news crew from Mexico City and did an interview with them while sitting on Paulette's bed.
Okay.
In the interview, Lizette and the reporter are sitting on Paulette's bed, and you can see her bed, all of her toys, mm-hmm. pink everywhere. Mm-hmm. And Lizette and the reporter are hugging Paulette's stuffed animals that are on her bed. Mm-hmm. And the whole interview made me really uncomfortable. It was in Spanish, so I'm not sure exactly what was said in the interview. Mm-hmm. But it was the fact that they were on a missing child's bed, touching her stuff. Like, mm-hmm. everyone grieves differently, but in most cases, missing or dead children, the family leaves their rooms like a shrine to them. Mm-hmm. Nothing is touched and no one is allowed to touch and fondle their things. Mm-hmm. Another thing that got to me was the interviewer gets Lizette to show the camera Paulette's toys. And Lizette also showed the camera a particular pair of Paulette's pajamas.
Okay.
During the interview, Lizette does become emotional, but it's just an odd interview and video. Mm-hmm. Something about it just didn't sit right with me. It's kind of like the Chris Watts porch interview.
Oh, yeah.
Her emotions were off. The actions were off. This is all my opinion. It was mm-hmm. just odd.
Yeah.
Lizette tells the reporter that she believes that Paulette was kidnapped because her family was rich.
Okay.
She begged Paulette's kidnappers to return her to her family safely. Lizette tells the kidnappers that they can even drop Paulette off at a grocery store or a market, let someone else find her and have her return to her family. Mm-hmm. Lizette strongly stated in the interview that she believed her daughter was taken for a ransom, but at no point was the family ever contacted about ransom money.
Right.
So I have no clue why Lizette would think this was a ransom. She wasn't contacted. There was no note. Like, this was just something she assumed.
Yeah. I mean, you have no other leads. Like, video cameras come up empty.
Yeah.
Dogs weren't barking. No sign of a break-in.
It's like she just disappeared.
That would be the hardest concept to grasp onto.
Yeah, like, why was she taken?
Was it alien abduction?
How did this happen? Are we sure she didn't get out the window?
Yeah.
When this interview aired, no one, including police, had stated they believed Paulette was kidnapped to be ransomed. Mm-hmm. The public was not buying the story, and neither were the police.
Oh.
To begin with, how did an abductor get Paulette out of the building without getting caught on any camera coming or going?
Through the window.
There was also no evidence found that an unknown person had forcibly entered their apartment. Mauricio also did interviews on his own. He begged for Paulette to be returned safely. Both Mauricio and Lizette were committed to the narrative that Paulette had been kidnapped and was being held for ransom, even though there was no proof at all that Paulette had been kidnapped and there was never a ransom call or note received.
Yeah, you're going to get a note.
Yeah, they're going to want their money. We mm-hmm. took your kid, now we want money.
They're not doing it to babysit, give you an off weekend.
No. Mm-hmm. A full week passed since Paulette went missing and there had been no sight of her. Mm. Then on March 29th, the Attorney General held a press conference to release an update on Paulette's case. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone expected the type of announcement he gave.
Uh-oh.
He explained that both Lizette, Mauricio, and the two nannies, Erica and Martha, were being held in police custody.
What?
Yeah. He noted in the announcement that even though all four had been taken into police custody, no one had been charged with a crime, or at least not everyone had been charged with a crime.
Oh, no.
He explained that at different points throughout the investigation, each one of the individuals had lied to the police or given false information in their statements. The false information given to the investigators had made it difficult to determine an accurate timeline of what happened the night Paulette went missing.
Oh, God.
I guess they didn't get together beforehand and determine what their narrative would be. Mm. So their narratives didn't match.
Oh, God.
The attorney general never came out with exactly what information had been falsified and who had made what false statements.
Mm-hmm.
So we know the four stories did not match, but we don't know if any of the stories were later proved to be factual or if only certain parts of each person's story differed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The information he released to the public during this press conference strongly implied that he and the investigators believed that Lizette and Mauricio knew more about what happened than what they were saying.
Oh, God.
His exact words were that both Lizette and Mauricio, in particular, had been extremely evasive mm-hmm. and defensive.
Mm.
Not how you would think a worried parent of a missing child would react.
No.
I would imagine if you had a missing child, you would want the police to know everything in the hopes that your child is found safe and mm-hmm. you would not be evasive or defensive when dealing with the investigators.
No.
It was brought to the public's attention that the police had received an undercover recording.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The recording apparently captured a conversation between Lizette, Mauricio, and little Lizette.
Okay.
Mauricio and Lizette were talking to their older daughter, little Lizette. Mm-hmm. They were recorded telling her that she should not talk to the investigators. They told her if she did talk to the investigators, she would be in trouble.
Uh-oh.
It is stated that in one recording, little Lizette asked why she shouldn't speak with police, and her mother told her that they would be blamed by investigators of stealing Paulette, or they might even believe that little Lizette could be accused of taking Paulette away to be stolen.
What?
Who tells their 7-year-old this?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Parents of the year.
No shit. When the information discovered in the recording was released, Lizette was quick to defend herself. She initially stated that the recording had been edited by someone to make the conversation incriminating than it was.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The public and investigators didn't buy this explanation, mm-mm. so she quickly changed her stance to the fact that the recording was being taken out of context to make her and her family look guilty.
Mm. You did that job.
Yeah. Telling your child that she's going to be in trouble for stealing her sister's basically, you know, making you look like shit.
That makes you look guilty.
There's no manipulating.
The humbug attitude with your daughter being missing makes you look guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, the way the recording was captured and who captured it has never been released to the public.
Oh.
So we don't know if they bugged their house mm-hmm. and were listening in for mm-hmm. incriminating statements or
maybe it was from their video.
Yeah, it could have been from the video footage. Someone could have been wearing a wire while they were visiting the family, or maybe one of the staff had a wire on.
Yeah.
We just don't know. So that remains a mystery, which is surprising because usually stuff like that, it doesn't remain a mystery. You find out there's something mm-hmm. leaked about who did it.
Mm.
This isn't the only thing in the case that remains a mystery.
Oh.
2 days after the attorney general's press release on March 31st, the investigators switched up their investigation tactics. They had been working nonstop since Paulette was reported missing, but they hadn't made any headway or discovered any evidence to lead them to discover what happened to Paulette.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators decided at this point they would return to the apartment and search for any clues or other evidence that they may have overlooked in the other searches.
Dang. This would be 5 times now?
This is like 8 or 9.
Eight or nine?
They searched 5 times the first day, and then they searched pretty much every day or every other day after that. So
meanwhile, they're living in the apartment. They're doing their daily lives.
Yep. It was never marked off as a crime scene.
Wow.
Okay, so investigators decided at this point they would return to the apartment and search for any clues or other evidence that they may have overlooked in other searches.
Mm-hmm.
They were also going to focus on the facts and nail down a more accurate timeline for the events that occurred the night and morning Paulette went missing. So 9 days later, they still really aren't about anything. When the detectives arrived at the apartment on March 31st, they were hit with a strong stomach-churning smell.
Oh, no.
As they walked deeper into the apartment, the smell continued to get worse and worse.
Oh, no.
When they finally arrived at Paulette's room, every single investigator and detective that was there knew what that scent meant.
Mm-hmm.
It was the smell of decomposition.
Mm.
When they opened the door to her room, the smell was overwhelming.
Oh, my God.
The investigators entered her room, and as soon as they were through the door, they were met with a horrific discovery. They realized that the decomposition smell was coming from a bundle of sheets at the foot of Paulette's bed.
What?
Yep. The bundle was wedged between the mattress and bed frame.
Oh, okay. Okay.
When they pulled the bundle from the area it was wedged in, they discovered Paulette inside the sheets.
Oh, my God.
And unfortunately, Paulette was dead and had been dead for some time.
Well, obviously, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. So now all of a sudden, after 8 searches.
Yeah. And people have been living there.
Combing this house. Everybody, you know, 2 nannies going to wake her up. Mom and Dad going to try to wake her up.
Police, cadaver dogs that specifically search for dead bodies.
Yeah.
It didn't smell on day 8, but day 9 now it's like so bad you smell it when you walk in. Like,
no.
What? Yeah, so just wait. So when I initially started looking into this case, I couldn't understand where her body was wedged. When I watched the interview her mother gave in her bedroom, I was really confused because Paulette's bed was in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
And the foot of the bed is facing the door to her room. So it would be the first part of the bed seen when anyone walked into her room.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that the mom and a news lady sat on this bed and had zero clues that she was just tucked in there?
Yep.
Give me a break.
Yep. I also thought maybe she had gotten stuck between the mattress and wall, but from what I understand, her body was at the foot of her bed, squeezed in between the mattress and the footboard.
Poor baby.
Which is not a very big space.
Mm-mm.
I watched and rewatched the interview that was given in Paulette's room, and I can't wrap my mind around any way her body was accidentally squeezed in there and no one noticed.
When the interview happened, was her bed made?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yep. And now there's just a bundle of sheets.
Yeah, they get tucked in at the bottom of the bed, or at the foot of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Even if she was squished in there really low and out of sight, I would think after a few days there would be a decomposition smell.
Yes.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that there were 5 searches by professional investigators the day she was reported missing. And before this, her parents, the nannies, and any other staff on duty supposedly searched all over the apartment for her.
Mm-mm.
Then cadaver dogs were brought in, and still nothing was found.
Mm-mm.
There were also additional searches done on this apartment and room several other times after day 1.
Right.
With all of these searches, professionals, and specially trained dogs, you're telling me that not one of these trained individuals noticed a smell or the fact that there was a bulge at the end of the bed.
Yeah.
This does not make sense.
No.
I personally do not think she would have been overlooked for a freaking week.
No, not at all.
The investigators released pictures of where Paulette's body was found during a press conference. It was very obvious from these images that there is no way that all of those people overlooked her body for 9 days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that her body was there the whole time. Mm-mm. I can't imagine that after all those people were in and out of the room, no one saw or smelt anything.
And in the interview.
Yeah.
Did you see the area where she was tucked in?
You do. You can see the foot of the bed.
There's nothing.
No,
it looks. So how do you explain that?
Yeah. It looks like it's just a normal bed. There's pillows and stuffed animals around the headboard. Mom and a reporter are sitting on the bed, like nothing weird. Yeah. Erica and Martha searched her room the morning that she went missing and did not see her anywhere in her room.
Mm-mm.
Her room was then searched 5 separate times on the first day. She was missing by trained police investigators who also found no trace of Paulette. Not to mention all the reporters and camera crews who were inside the room while she was missing.
Right.
It's believed that about 100 different people went in and out of her room over the course of the investigation.
And nobody saw.
No one saw anything, smelt anything, or heard anything. A dead body will start to smell within 24 to 72 hours after death.
Mm.
The interview I watched was held just a few feet away from her body within 48 to 72 hours after she went missing. There is no chance in hell that the interviewer, camera
crew,
didn't
get a whiff of something.
Yeah, that they didn't smell anything while they were in her room.
Ugh.
At one point in the interview, Lizette sat on the foot of the bed, literally less than a foot from where her daughter's body would be found.
Oh my God.
It was really odd. Like, I could only really pick up on the body language and stuff.
But because, you know what? Thank God she did.
Yeah.
Because you can,
there's
you
visual
can clearly
proof.
See that the child was not there.
Yeah. It was not noticeable. There's.
Yeah. Did a whole interview.
I mean, a whole four-year-old would, you even as tiny as she was, you would see something shoved in between the bed
something.
And the head footboard. I mean, yeah, like.
Not a pristine
It's not believable.
Room. Yeah.
And even the cops were like, we've been in here. We've looked. Yeah. Like, we would have noticed
we
this.
We have photographs of the bed, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I keep repeating this, but I don't understand how all of these people were so close to a dead child and not a single one noticed anything for 9 days.
Because they weren't.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Is it possible that someone killed her or she died accidentally and her body was hidden for several days in another location before she was returned to her room to be found?
Why?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's an accidental death, you call the police or the ambulance or...
Yeah, because if you don't, then it looks suspicious.
Well, yeah, but wouldn't you want to know what happened to your baby?
Yeah. And I mean, she's four, so...
I'm not thinking I gotta hide the body.
Yeah, you're not worried about, like, sudden infant death syndrome or anything like that. You have a no. four-year-old that's not breathing.
Yeah.
Even if she's blue, I would be like, call 911, get over here, bring her back, do something.
Yeah, I mean, even, go if, she and was hide her. Even if she was dead,
yeah,
like,
go and hide her is not...
No.
It never would pop into my mind to do that. Like, I don't know who could do that. Mm-mm. Who would think to do that? And unless it was, like, intentional, why would you do that?
Right.
Ugh. So you would think that the crime scene unit could have tested the room for fingerprints and DNA and see if any unknown fingerprints or DNA were found, or possibly some type of DNA could be found on Paulette's body or the blankets she
I
was wrapped in.
I would hope a resounding yes, that was done.
Yep. But the answer to this is we don't know if any forensic evidence ever existed because Paulette's room was never closed off as a crime scene.
Holy crap.
Yep. So, guys and gals, this is where we're going to stop for today. I know. I'm sorry. This one's a long one.
No! Yeah. We were getting to the good stuff.
Yeah. I'm starting to piss everybody off.
Oh, no.
People are taking up arms to fight for Paulette's case, but you're going to have to wait until next week.
Okay.
To hear the ending of her story.
If you say we must.
Oh, you must.
Okay, then I guess this episode is over for now, and we'll continue with part two next week on another bitch who is unwell.
Bye.
Bye.
We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform, with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch, I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly... unwell.